Oh, God, this place. Steve should never have opened this place again. There's been too much trouble here. Did you know that a young boy drowned the year before those two others were killed? The counselors weren't paying any attention. They were making love while that young boy drowned. His name was Jason. I was working the day that it happened, preparing meals. Here, I was the cook. Jason should have been watched every minute. He was... I am Jason. Jason was my son, and today is his birthday. You let him drown. You never paid any attention. Look what you did to him. Look what you did to him!
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Zisu back again, and this is E-Society Presents Up to the Challenge. On this pod, we challenge each other to watch something, movie, TV show, documentary, or whatever, as long as it's streaming or available. Then we'll discuss what we thought and present the next challenge. This is episode 6. Today we'll be talking about Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets and the 1980s classic Friday the 13th. But before I go any further, he's up to the challenge. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Oh, man, this was a tough one for me. For those of you that know me on a personal level, I hate Dane DeHaan. I just think this kid is, like, the driest actor ever. If you're listening, Dane, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean,
sorry.
I've given him many shots with his films. I said last episode, I did like him in Chronicle. I thought that was cool. And when he was in that Metallica movie that they had done, Through the Never, he was only in it for during the wraparound story, other than all the performances in that. You guys haven't seen that, check it out. It was streaming on Netflix, but I don't think it is anymore. But anyway, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. Other than Dane DeHaan, I liked this movie. I mean, I thought it was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. I wasn't. This took me a minute. I was like, okay. I started it, then I stopped it, and started it, and stopped it. And I, man, let me get through this. So this is what it's about. A dark force threatens Alpha, a vast metropolis and home to species from a thousand planets. Special operatives Valerian and Lorraine, is that her name?
Loreline,
that's right. Yeah. Must race to identify the Marauding menace and safeguard not just Alpha, but the future of the universe. This was directed by Luc, is it Besson?
I think it's Besson.
Okay.
I think.
This is the guy that brought us The Fifth Element, right?
Right.
Okay. I love The Fifth Element. I thought that was an amazing film. And this is in that universe, isn't it?
Right. This is in that universe. And honestly, I was expecting a little more connection. One I'll give you right away, which you may or may not have noticed. They did have that species from the very beginning of Fifth Element, where they're big and huge and they're in the pyramids and they have the key on the finger and they're like, you know, life is important, take the key. You can see them in a scene.
I must have missed them. I mean, there was so much, man. I remember when it came out, you went and seen it, and I was like, man, I should have went and saw this. I should have just said hell with it and seen it. I should have saw this in the theater. I mean, there was so much going on the screen. I loved all the CG. The CGI was amazing in this film. And I'm sure it sounded like awesome if you're in a good theater with the sound system. The characters, I really liked Loreline. I liked her. Her name is Cara Delevingne. I liked her. She's Sergeant Loreline. I liked her. Dane DeHaan is Major Valerian. I liked Loreline the best. And another thing, if you know me on a personal level, I don't know what it is. It's just been something that's been stuck with me my whole life. I always really notice people's eyebrows, and hers were pretty dark and pretty thick. But I did like her character. She was a really strong woman. She wasn't just this pretty little blonde that was just throwing herself around on the screen, man. She kicked ass in this movie.
Yep.
I love the effects, man. I mean, that's what I like. This movie looked like it was just a lot of green screen.
Yeah.
So that kind of took me out of it for a little bit because, yes, they did it in Star Wars and the prequels and everything. But I don't know. Sometimes that when it looks totally obvious, I mean, it just kind of takes me out of it for a second. But there was maybe a few parts I was kind of like, and Dane DeHaan and everything. But I would say this is probably the second movie that I liked him in. I didn't like him in what was that one I said? Cure for Wellness. I thought that movie could have been awesome and it was horrible. But I just dreaded to watch this movie just because of him. But I'm glad I did, man. So
nice.
Thanks. I mean, I love this movie. If you guys have not seen this and you liked the Fifth Element and you like sci-fi and just aliens in different worlds, this is definitely a movie to check out. I won't ruin the end for you, but it's definitely worth watching. If you want a good sci-fi movie, that there's a good amount of comedy, a lot of action, and it's labeled action, adventure, fantasy, and that's pretty much what it is. And I just thought it was awesome. And I was watching it on my phone, and I was like, damn it, I should have saw this in the theater. I mean, if they did do like you know, some theaters show it up. Like, hey, we're bringing back these old movies. If they showed this again in the theater, I would go and see it because I really enjoyed this film. I'd say like maybe the first 15, 20 minutes, I was like, let me just sit through this thing. But once the story got going and all that, it starts off pretty quick, man. It's not like a slow burn in the beginning. It like just jumps right into it. And that's what I really liked. I mean, I just thought it was awesome. Some of the creatures reminded me, especially the three little dudes kind of in the beginning. They look like little slug. No, not slug. They had this long, like, anteater type noses. And the girl and Dane DeHaan were kind of interacting with them. I thought they were really funny, and I liked them. They reminded me of characters from, like Dark Crystal or something like that.
Right.
And I think to go off topic really quick, if they really did do, well, they're supposedly giving us a part two to Dark Crystal, and most likely it will be CGI, but I heard that they do want to do a lot of the practical puppets and everything. I don't know, but we'll see. But a lot of this stuff, man, just was amazing. I mean, A Fifth Element, when that one came out, that was good for what, in the 90s when that one came out? Or was it?
Right.
Okay. When that one, it looked good. But now what they can do, this was what, last year, 2017? It just looks so amazing. I don't know who the guys or what company did all the CGI, but I thought they did an extraordinary job with all of this. And when you have so much going on the screen and having all these different races of aliens, it was awesome. And I liked the story. It didn't drag. Well, to me, it didn't drag or anything. So, I mean, I really enjoyed this film. And I think I'm going to go buy it. I want to watch. I want to watch it on my big TV. So
cool.
This movie, and like I said, I was like really dreading to watch this.
Right.
Man, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. I remember how much you were dreading it around the time. And then I took Jade to see it in the theater, and she loved this film. This was like in her top three last year. She absolutely loved this film. And yeah, like you were saying, probably my favorite stuff is actually in the first hour. There's an adventure, and I really loved that. But it would have been fun to see a little bit more of a connection to Fifth Element. I mean, like, not like I'm talking sequel, but like more of the beings and the creatures that we saw in that, I thought would have been fun. But still, overall, I liked it, and I'm actually I'm pleasantly surprised that you liked it. So yeah, that's great to hear.
I just realized that Cara Delevingne, she is Enchantress from Suicide Squad.
Right.
The whole time I was going, where have I seen this girl? For some reason, I was thinking of another little kid actress, but it's not her. I had to look on her IMDb to see what else she has done. So I guess I can put that to rest, because the whole time I was watching this movie, it was killing me. Like, where have I seen her? Where have I seen her?
Right.
She did this after Suicide Squad. I mean, she looked really young in this. I thought she was like,
yeah,
a teenager.
As far as I know, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I liked her.
Yeah, 2016.
I liked her character the most. I mean, she was,
yeah,
just like I agree. Said, she was really strong. And which I did kind of notice, but he kept popping up every now and then, the defense minister. I didn't realize that was Herbie Hancock.
That's awesome.
For those of you, he's an amazing musician. He's done a ton of good scores for all kinds of movies. But for what brought him onto the scene for me as a young kid was when he did Rocket, that song. If you guys haven't heard that song, go check it out. Rocket by Herbie Hancock. And it was just back when everybody was out in the streets b-boying and everything. It's an amazing song, and it was good, man, to see him in this. I just haven't heard Herbie Hancock in a long time, and when he popped on the screen, I was kind of like, he looks familiar. But I didn't want to read into this or anything. I had no idea what this movie was going to be. All I knew was Dane DeHaan was in it. So, but again, this movie was awesome. It was an extraordinary job with the CGI. The story was good. Dane DeHaan is. Acting was still a little dry in some parts, because he seems to be acting the same in everything that I've seen him in. So I was kind of like, like I said, it was an amazing film, and I'm going to go buy it. Look, I'm sure it's probably on sale now somewhere. So
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
So everyone, if you haven't seen this, it's streaming on Amazon Prime right now, and that was Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. Came out 2017. Sorry for the technical problems. I think he's back. You there?
Yeah, just a little inside baseball. I'm recording this episode on the road from a hotel room, so I did notice there for a second it was going in and out.
All right.
But I think I'm back.
All right, man. Well, keeping it in baseball, you're up.
Sounds good. I was challenged by the Nez in honor of when this pod is being released, fitting for the challenge. And I know he's celebrating it like the holiday it is for him as a horror fan. The classic 1980s original Friday the 13th horror mystery drama. Of course, a group of camp counselors are stalked and murdered by an unknown assailant while trying to reopen a summer camp, which years before was a site of a child's drowning. I got to get out ahead of this, because it drew my eye to this. I don't know if you took a look at this, Nez. The Metascore on IMDb is a 19 on this, and like, yeah, this was like, this is 1980 before all this Metascore and stuff like that, but it's kind of funny that it's like that low. There's a 50-50, 40, it's a 20, and then Gene Siskel's Chicago Tribune gave it a zero back in 1980.
Yeah, those guys hated it.
Disgusting. Yeah, disgusting artless shocker.
I remember when this movie came out and watching. I always watched At the Movies. It came on Sundays on NBC. And when this movie came out, my brother went and seen it first and then told me about it and how awesome it was. So I went and seen it. But then I remember watching At the Movies that weekend, and they were just tearing this movie apart and just going, it's horrible. I don't know what Sean S. Cunningham was trying to do here. And they bashed it and just gave it, both of them gave it a thumbs down. And I remember sitting there going, wow. I was 9 years old at the time when this came out. And I was like, okay. Right. But then I went and saw it that night, and I was like, oh, my God. But this ain't about me right now. So this is your first time watching it all the way through, correct?
Correct, yes. I had seen pieces before, and obviously I knew, you know, general parts of the story, general parts of Voorhees and you know, what was going on with the series in general. But yeah, this is my first time sitting down watching it. And, you know, I got to say, sitting down to watch it and knowing all that stuff, I definitely was able to appreciate it. I think you mentioned this before, how this one really is on its own. It really doesn't have like a supernatural element to it per se. It actually has a very realistic premise to it, like almost something that like could happen or could have happened. You know, there's no illusion. You know, this is complete made up. And I gotta say, also, even though I did, you know who it was and what it was, the way it was presented, it really was, I felt well done in that mysterious way that you're going along for the ride and like, you know, who is it, what is it? There's a few scenes where you have somebody like, oh, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? And then like, they're got and stuff like that. And you're only seeing like from the point of the killer, basically. So you don't know. You still don't know who it is, even though somebody just was like, "Oh, hey," and then they get got. But I mean, it's a classic. It's entered a new territory. Reviewing it now, I feel, is a lot different from even reviewing it back when it originally came out. Like we're talking about that Zero Chicago Tribune review. Now it's, you know, it's like watching a classic, almost like I had Jade watch The Shining for the first time before we went to see Ready Player One. It's
got any toss back for me?
Well, you kind of you cut out when you were talking about watching The Shining again with Jade.
Oh. Okay, yeah, just to wrap up that point.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I don't, it's just crappy internet where I'm at. And again, you went out. but yeah, I mean, I'll just go before it goes out again. What, I mean, for 1980 special effects, I mean, there's no CGI in this. This is all or nothing days. I mean, right now with how clear movies are with DVD and Blu-ray, you can totally tell what it is, how fake it looks and everything. But in 1980, you have to give it that for it not looking so cheesy. Yeah, some people thought it was cheesy, but to a little 9-year-old kid like me sitting there in the theater watching this for the very first time, I thought the effects were awesome. What did you think of Well, actually, it was filmed in 79. So what did you think of the 1979 effects by the special effects master, Tom Savini?
Yeah, I mean, for what it is, I think it really, you know, pulls it off. It's effective. It works so well. You know, sometimes it's better to have it more simplistic. It feels more real. It provided a sense of, you know, you could feel the realness of the situation. And you don't need, you know, something too over the top to portray, you know, the terror and the horror of that, the situation sometimes. Sometimes that's even scarier when, you know, it's real like that.
The classic scene of, with Kevin Bacon with the arrow through the throat from under the bed.
Right.
what did you think of that?
Yeah, especially for when they did it, impressive that they were able to pull that off, especially for the time, you know. Even, you know, Star Wars was just right, you know, 2 years before they were filming this, so...
I mean, I like that scene. I mean, there is an unrated, uncut version out there, and the only thing added to the film is this: the Kevin Bacon scene is just like maybe a second or two longer.
Huh?
Because this movie really did get butchered when they went to the ratings board, but as well as a lot of the other ones after it. But what I loved about that scene is how they did it. You had Kevin Bacon laying under the bed. A lot of you guys that know the history of Friday the 13th, you already know this, so I'm telling a story that everybody knows. But if you don't know, they had him laying under the bed. They had a little prosthetic part, the neck and the upper chest area. They had all these kind of tubes. They had these little pumps that they were pumping the blood through. But there was a time when they were filming that scene, I guess one of the pumps, the little squeezer hand pump things they were using wasn't working. So one of the special effects guys just pulled it off and just blew into it. So during this scene, that's why you see this stream of blood shooting up really high. And to me, I thought it just looked amazing.
Right.
Even today in 2018, I watch it and still enjoy that scene for what it was. And you got to give it for Tom Savini. He's a master at what he does. Him and his crew and what they did with this, all the death effects, the effects of how Jason looked when we finally see him. Some people, like my son Kyle, I let him watch this for the very first time. And when we actually went through the whole things, because he wanted to know who Jason was. He got to the age, who's Jason? Who's Jason? So I said, well, you know what? We'll just watch them all. So we watched all the movies. And when he was watching this first one, he kept going, where's Jason? Where's Jason?
Right.
And I was like, hold on, son. I mean, I don't, just keep watching. So you don't get Jason until the very end of the movie. And I'm sure you already knew that scene, and I'm sure you knew it was it coming. But the very first time that I had seen it, I didn't know it was coming.
Wow.
I saw this the weekend it opened.
Nice.
And I was just sitting there. It was all nice music and nice, awesome little cinematography of actress Adrienne King sitting in a boat,
and the film seemed like it was over.
Yeah,
too.
The guy that did the music. I know his name. I could see it. Manfredini. He did an amazing job with the score and everything, and I just loved it. You heard it at the beginning of this episode. Right before we got into the whole thing. His music was awesome, and it was just so all nice and soothing. You see the police, and then all of a sudden, just mongoloid-looking person with gunk from the bottom of the lake all over him jump over and grab Alice. That's Adrienne King's character. And I just jumped out of my seat. My brother knew it was coming, so he was watching me. And the whole theater just screamed.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, then you get the laughs afterward because of how it's just it scared everyone. So then you immediately start laughing afterwards. But back in 1980, I thought it just did its job. And this is my – if you don't know me – This is my all-time favorite horror movie. I loved it. It scared me so much. The 9-year-old Nez, I had to sleep with my mom and dad that night. I was so scared, and I still get a little creeped out when I watch this. I always watch it at night, and I don't know. I just, the awesome Betsy Palmer, she was Mrs. Voorhees when we get the reveal at the end. And Betsy Palmer is just like, I've seen her in all the older movies she had done, and this was a movie that she didn't even really want to do. She was like, oh, a slasher movie? But I think she had like car problems, like her Mercedes or something broke down. So she needed money for a car. So her agent was like, look, here's this movie. They're going to give you this much money. And she was like, you know what? I'll do it. Because I think it was only like maybe a couple days work. Because she actually was only in it at the end.
Right.
All the scenes of when they see the killer's like hands or feet walking around, that wasn't her. Just when they show her for her face and everything, that's the only parts that that was her. But everybody in this was amazing. And then we did get a young Kevin Bacon. This is the first movie. Well, this is actually the second movie I'd seen him in. First movie I'd seen him in was Animal House. But everything in this was amazing. It was creepy. I just loved the story. And what Zisu said earlier, for me, what I loved about this movie, it was real. It could this story could happen. It was about a vengeful mother that just lost it because the counselors weren't watching her son, so she just went on a revenge kick and just started murdering everybody. I mean, and I'm sure any of us would do that if someone just wasn't paying attention to our child and that was the end of them. Oh man, it was just I love this movie so much, and I thought Sean S. Cunningham did an amazing job. Awesome story by Victor Miller. Oh, here's a question for you. At the very end scene before Jason jumps out of the water, and after that, she wakes up in the hospital and she's telling the cops, like, hey, where's the boy? And they're like, what boy? What are you talking about? And she goes, boy, Jason, we didn't find any boy. And then she goes, like, well, he's still there. With that scene, did you think it really happened, or do you think it was a dream?
I figured it was kind of almost foreshadowing the future, in that that was like the first time there was like a supernatural element and like, you know, beginnings of Jason, basically, is how I took that. I don't know if that was the proper interpretation of the scene.
No, Victor Miller, he wrote it as Jason was dead and he was never coming back.
Okay.
That was more of just a dream sequence for that scene. Oh, okay. So
all right.
when the studio was like, hey man, this movie made jillions of dollars, I don't know how much, but it made a lot of money for Paramount, that you're like, you know what, let's do a sequel. And the end of the first one wasn't Victor Miller's. He didn't have the intention to keep this story going, but the studio said, hey man, we can keep it going because we still think that very, very last scene when they go back to the lake and see the water and those little air bubbles are coming up. So it kind of gave you that, like, is Jason still alive? When this first came out and after it was over, just sitting in the theater, scared out of my mind, I didn't know there was going to be another one. I was just like, I didn't even think that, okay, there's going to be a part two. Not like now when we watch these movies and when they're over, like, oh my God, there's going to be another one. I mean, I had no idea what was coming because the very next year, Friday the 13th Part 2 came out. And I just couldn't wait. By then I was 10 and they were busting them out like just year after year.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to run by you. If you knew, I had this question for you as far as them bringing them out every year. They brought out, I noticed, because I went ahead and read what the titles were going forward, and I noticed Part 4 is like the final chapter, but then a year later they do A New Beginning. So were they thinking of that was going to be it, and then they're like, okay, let's keep it going?
Initially, the final chapter was going to be the final chapter.
Right.
But when you, after all these movies are coming out, and when you, they, I mean, they wrote it off to like, you know what, this is it. It's finally over with, the end. But then a couple years later, or a year later, we got A New Beginning. Again, the company was like, you know what? I think we can keep this going.
Right.
Because the way the final chapter ended, the main character, Corey Feldman's character, Tommy Jarvis, he was like, they kind of left it off thinking that, well, is he going to go crazy now after what he just went through? Is he going to be the new Jason? The original story was that Corey Feldman's character, he is the one that actually killed Jason, him and his sister. Killed Jason at the end of the final chapter. Spoiler alert, if you don't know. And they like killed him, like to where he was dead and gone, and that there shouldn't have been any more. And part five was going to be Tommy Jarvis, Corey Feldman's character, to just what this traumatic thing that happened to him when he was a kid just never went away, and just he just lost it, and he was just going to move forward and just, I'm going to start killing. I'm going to take the machete from Jason and keep on going. So that was their idea for it, but that's not what The New Beginning gave us. It was more of that movie is more of like a whodunit, A New Beginning, part five. And then after that, technically Jason is in the movie. There was some little Tommy Jarvis. He keeps like imagining seeing him, but it was more of a whodunit and a copycat killer Jason in that one. And then when we roll into part six, Jason Lives, which is an amazing film, and a lot of people, that's their favorite one. It ain't my favorite, but I do love that one. Jason Lives, he was brought back more of like Frankenstein style, and that director of part six, Tom McLaughlin, he was such a fan of all the old school Universal Monster stuff. So he wanted to bring Jason back that way by electrocution. Tommy Jarvis's character is in part six. He still wants to make sure that Jason is dead. So they basically dig him up, and he was going to burn his body to make like cremate him to like make sure he'll never come back. But as he's doing that, he jams a metal spike into Jason's heart. And during these movies, there's always a thunder and lightning storm, and lightning hits the rod and then activates Jason and brings it back. Part six is actually the beginning of the zombie Jason, is what us fans like to call him now, because it was just unstoppable after that.
Right.
from part two to part four, it was more of a human Jason, to where he never did really die, but the original Victor Miller story, he said Jason was dead and he was never going to come back. Friday the 13th was supposed to be a one and done movie and that was it. But no, Paramount said, no, I think we got something here. Let's move forward. And they stretched this character, this actual Jason character, out for 10 movies in the series. All ended with Jason X when New Line took over. Well, they actually took over with part nine, Jason Goes to Hell, which is bullshit. That movie is horrible. I hate it, but I have to have it in my library because it's a part of this. But anyway, and then once New Line took over, then that's when they did the Freddy versus Jason, and then they gave us the reboot, which actually was a collaboration with Paramount and New Line, and Platinum Dunes. Michael Bay had always just needs to throw his name into something. Which is actually pretty good. I did like that reboot. If you do want to check that one out for some reason, it's on HBO. And that's more of just starting the story all over again. So it just got nothing to do with any connection to any of the previous films. But being Friday the 13th, when this episode is out, I've been just doing my rewatch and watching everything. These movies are cheesy and they are corny. They just get more cornier as it goes along. But I really enjoy these films. Kyle, my son, his favorite one was the final chapter, part four. He loved that one. And I asked him why. He said, I don't know. I just liked it. It was more brutal. And then he watched the next few. And his second favorite, which is so corny and so cheesy. I didn't like it the first time I saw it, but now that I've seen it over and over, I do like it. He loves part eight, the Jason Takes Manhattan. And I don't know why he loved it. He watched that one. I think he watched that one the most. When I get his room and everything situated, I actually want to buy a hockey mask and have Kane Hodder sign it so I can hang it on the wall for him and get that poster, Jason Takes Manhattan, for to hang up in there. But I was like, why do you like this one so much? And he was just, I don't know, man. It just made him laugh. I mean, he was probably scared maybe the first couple, but then after a while, he would just sit there and he was laughing at everything as it just kept going on.
The rooftop fight, right?
Yes. When you saw that scene? No, I posted it on the page a while ago.
I saw that.
when Julius' head got punched off by Jason. Oh, my God. But all these movies are fun to me and a lot of horror fans to watch. I know a lot of people, all these movies are stupid. I never liked them even when they came out. But this is a horror classic. I mean, this is what gave us a good stretch of films of just this slasher. And we didn't, as the movies went on, you're always rooting for Jason. You were never rooting for the hero or the heroine. You're always rooting for Jason because we just wanted to see how he was going to kill his next victim. And it was just awesome. I mean, it was just total realness maybe for the first few. Yeah, he kept getting hit in the head by a machete, or then he got hit in the head with an axe and thinking, no, there's no way he could keep going. But these are movies, man. They're here to entertain us. Paramount did an awesome job, in my opinion, with all the first eight movies before New Line took it over. And they killed it, ruined it with Jason Goes to Hell, but brought me back with Jason X when we got nowhere else to go. Let's throw him in outer space. And I thought that was awesome. I didn't see that. No, I did see that in the theater, but I laughed my ass off. I don't know how awesome it was. And it's so cheesy. The CGI is terrible. And we only get the Uber Jason for like maybe the last 10 minutes of the film, but it's all right. But all these movies are awesome. They were streaming on all these sites, but right now only the first one is, as well as the reboot. Friday the 13th, the original 1980 version. If you guys have not seen it, or you have seen it and you feel like watching it again, it is streaming on Amazon Prime as well as Hulu. So, yeah, man, I love this film. I mean, is there anything else you want to say while we're coming to a close?
Just that I have a kind of fun bonus. This isn't the official next challenge for you, but for anybody that is a fan of Friday the 13th, the whole series of Psych is up on Amazon, and Psych Season 3, Episode 15 is entitled Tuesday the 17th. Psych is a story of the week show, so you don't have to worry about watching it out of order or having watched the show. Every week it's kind of like a case of the week show, and it's Friday the 13th episode. So I'm definitely curious to see what you think, as kind of like another little mini Friday the 13th side challenge, like how they did, if they honored the film. So yeah, just a little bonus.
And another thing for you listeners out there, I am you guys all know, if you guys have been listening to this from the beginning, how big of a Friday the 13th fan I am. There's a ton of Jason action figures out there. I have the reaction ones. I have the ones that are in the box, the boxes that open up with the flaps in the front. I have all those. But there is other action figures of Jason out there. I know you go on Amazon or eBay and they're like $1 jillion. I don't want to pay $1 jillion. I want to pay for... I think I can go as high as maybe 50 for one, but when it gets into the hundreds, I have no desire. There's some Jason figures out there in plastic shells, the see-through shells. do me a favor. If you guys do see those, take a picture of it and message it to me and let me know how much it costs. We'll work something out. I'll give you a little bit extra for your troubles for me. And I'll pay for the shipping and handling, but I am looking for any Jason thing. The actual, I mean, the ones that look cool, not the little little small ones that look all cute and all that. I don't want any of those plush ones or anything. I love the ones that actually look like the ones from the movies. There's a ton of them out there, but I'm just slowly finding them. So if you guys can help me out with that, cool, right on. But other than that, everybody, happy Friday the 13th. It's just amazing time, and I'm probably going to wrap this whole, my whole Friday the 13th watch up with a rewatch of, I already watched it, but I'm going to watch it again just because my son loves it. And that's Friday the 13th, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Nice. Anyway. All right. On that note, you want to issue up the next challenge?
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it. What do you got?
I'm hoping you haven't seen this one. It's been on my challenge list for you for a minute now. The Netflix original film, Shimmer Lake. Did you ever get the chance to see that?
I never even heard of it.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Yeah, don't watch the preview or look into it or anything like that. Just check it out and yeah, let me know what you think. It's a Netflix movie, so it's one of those that's on the hour and a half side. So, yeah, check it out.
All right, guys. My challenge for the Zisu here, this is a film that's streaming on Amazon, if you guys also want to watch it. This is a film that I had seen in the theater because I was reading something about it on like Entertainment Weekly or something. This is a film that stars that one creepy lady. Tilda Swinton.
Is that Tilda Swinton?
Yeah. This is We Need to Talk About Kevin. This is I read it, what it was about. I'm not gonna say what it's about, and I just like, this sounds cool. So I went and seen it, and I was like, whoa. It's kind of slow, but it was a good film. I really did enjoy it. So yeah, so that's my challenge. We Need to Talk About Kevin. And yours was?
Shimmer Lake. That's on Netflix.
All right. I got my work cut out for me for this episode. But
yep.
Hey, everybody, again, happy Friday the 13th. And watch horror movies and Friday the 13th if you guys haven't seen it. And that's it for me. We'll be back next week.
Yep. See you then. Till then, up to the challenge.
Let her get away, Mommy. Don't let her live.
I won't, Jason. I won't.